Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Thanks for joining us here at The Advertising Show. Ray Schillens, Brad Forsythe. Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. What a show we have for you today. As if we don't do that every weekend, right, Brad? This week, it's Shamin Abbas here in just a few moments, our activist for excellence, the 800-pound gorilla called The Social Network, or Social Network. And also, Gene Bliss is going to explore some of the cool stuff about IKEA a little bit later on in the hour with the customer experience. And, of course, Alex Ben Block joins us today. Now, Alex got a promotion and a brand-new position there. You know, Alex is a regular on The Advertising Show. He's award-winning entertainment industry journalist, author, broadcaster, and show business historian. He is now a contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter. And also, by the way, Brad, he's the co-editor of Blockbusting, The Business of Filmmaking, a decade-by-decade survey. It showcases 300 blockbuster movies being published by Harper Books and George Lucas Books, tentatively set for early next year to release that, and of course we'll obviously talk about that as we get closer to. Gene Bliss has a new book coming out too, and we'll talk about that as we get into the fall season here at The Advertising Show. Man, the summer is just going faster and faster.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. We have, always new ways to market to folks, and this is no exception. Every Broadway producer wants a show that'll draw big crowds to the box office, but how do you attract those crowds if your show is in a theater several blocks away from the throng of tourists at Times Square? Well, you get a blimp or something like that, no. Faced with a location problem, the producers of Shrek the Musical, which is housed in the Broadway Theater on Broadway, 52nd and 53rd, cast their eyes southward, and they saw a steady stream of shoppers packing the M&M's World Store on 48th with its towering outdoor LED screens facing Times Square and three floors of retail space swarming with tourists. M&M World looked like an attractive partner for Shrek the Musical. So what they said here is we thought about the store first because they're one of the key tourist attractions in New York. We had been partners with M&M's with movie outings in the past and felt it was like a logical arrangement. Obviously it was. So DreamWorks Theatricals approached the Mars Retail Group, the division of Mars Inc. that operates M&M's World, about holding a daily ticket lottery in the store for Shrek. So that's what they're doing. It was a basic that they're calling it, and I hate this term, a clever out-of-the-box way to make more money.
Yeah.
So Shrek is doing well. And what a great opportunity for a unique marketing partnership for those guys. So congratulations. Hope it does well.
Let's put that phrase out of the box, back in the box, and throw it away.
How about we blow up the box?
Yeah, right. Hey, you know, having Alex on, can't help but talk a little bit about television prior to bringing him on here right after this segment. USA Network will wrap up July, Ray, as cable's most watched network, averaging 3.15 million total viewers in prime, while sweeping all three major demos. This according to Nielsen's rating data for the period of June 30th through July 27th. Second place for July went to TNT, which continued to serve up huge numbers with its original drama strip, The Closer. You might be familiar with that. The Turner net averaged 2.5 million viewers in prime. And just to mention the rest, Fox News Channel held on to third place in July, increased, by the way, of 43% year to date with 2.08 million viewers. And to finish out the top 10, we're talking ABC Family, FX, the Sci-Fi Channel, ESPN, and the Discovery Channel. So congratulations to all those wonderful
winners,
cable networks. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that too, as a matter of fact. Shamin Abbas, mentioned it before, social networking, the 800-pound gorilla. We'll find out what it's all about right now.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
The war for social network supremacy was over as quickly as it started in 2006. By 2009, 9 major properties dominate cyberspace. Although these winners are still struggling to figure out their revenue models, millions flock to these sites every single day. They're trendsetters, and concepts adopted on them spread quickly to other sites. These are the 5 largest sites of the more than 2,500 players, the last count, in the market. MySpace, adults stay home please. This teen-dominated site's reach into its target audience is astounding, logging over 70% of visits to the top 10 social networks and has great reach into the entertainment and consumer product markets. If you're going to build a presence on MySpace, have a kid help you, literally no kidding. Facebook, consider the MySpace for adults. Having just hit the 200 million user mark, this audience is more affluent and better educated than MySpace. 40% of its members are over 35, and Facebook is a closed network, and it is this exclusivity that members like. It is a hub for finding old friends, current neighbors, business acquaintances, and childhood sweethearts. LinkedIn. This is the social network for business people, working on the 6 degrees of separation principle. Members find and connect to known business contacts and use those people's connections to find others. YouTube has truly given the 15 minutes of fame principle a gigantic push forward via viral video. Members upload an average of 65,000 videos to YouTube every day. It is an effective place for marketers to post TV commercials, behind-the-scenes videos, and other consumer product companies are using it like mad. Twitter, the tweet heard around the world. This real-time word-of-mouth network limits Twitterers to 140 characters. It is the instant feedback and proliferation of the media into Twitter which are fascinating. Forgetting the stream of consciousness tweets, you can hear about the breaking news even before it ever makes websites or big news outlets. You may be using all or none of these social networks, but they're here to stay and need to be incorporated into your everyday strategies.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thanks, Shamin, on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Alex Ben-Block joins us today. Always a pleasure to have Alex on the show. He's always there for us, too, you know? Like, hey, Alex, want to be on a week early? Sure. And he does it. He's the new contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter, and we're happy to chat with Alex. He, like, knows everything, okay? I mean, after listening to the segments that we do with him today, you will need no further investigation of what's going on in Hollywood. You might find out something you don't even know already as well. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, I want to say thanks for tuning in, basically, here at theadvertisingshow.com. It's a global platform that we use to talk to lots and lots and lots of folks, and we're happy to be talking to you today. Theadvertisingshow.com, tell a friend. And what we do, it's a marketing tool. It's the company that supports The Advertising Show. It's called Shipple.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L. com out of Houston, and a platform called Tendency, which is huge for marketing your business or your product or service. So check it out at Shipple.com. Would you do that? All right. Back in just a moment with more.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
As promised, Alex Van Block is with us out of Los Angeles today. Alex is the contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter, amongst a whole bunch of other stuff as well. As you know, if you're a regular listener to The Advertising Show, great to have you, Alex. Thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Hot news earlier this week, Alex. Silverman out at NBC Universal. Bring us up to date on what in the world's going on in his life.
Well, after a short 2 years atop NBC, Ben Silverman, the former William Morris agent, has left his position as co-chairman, not only of NBC, but also of Universal Media Studios. And he arrived, and the network was in fourth place, and things weren't going well, and morale was low. And he leaves, and the network is in fourth place. Things aren't going well, and morale is low. So what did he accomplish? Not much. This was a guy who was responsible for shows like Ugly Betty and The Office, and The Biggest Loser as a producer, so they thought he had a magic touch. He also was very well known for working with advertising. He did do breakthroughs in product placements. He's probably responsible for more subliminal product placements on television than any other living person at this point. Unfortunately, a lot of the shows that he chose to put those in were pretty awful. Some of the shows that he personally can take responsibility for were My Own Worst Enemy, Kath and Kim, and the remake of Knight Rider, which rode off into not the sunset, but the opposite of that.
Yeah, right.
So, well, I mean,
he got
he
a good
was,
deal. This is a guy who knows how to fail upwards. God bless him.
Yeah, well, I was going to say.
He sold Reveille for about $100 million to Rupert Murdoch's daughter, but now he turns around and makes a deal with Barry Diller, and he's going to get another $100 million to start and develop the company as a producer again. So it's good to be Ben Silverman.
Yeah, can you elaborate a little bit about Barry Diller's IAC company that he's backing on this new Silverman production company?
Sure. Well, Barry Diller, of course, used to be a studio mogul in Hollywood. He ran 20th Century Fox and was one of the founders of the Fox Television Network under Rupert Murdoch. And then he went off and formed IAC, which is a kind of internet play, and collected together a whole bunch of different service-oriented or transaction-oriented internet companies, travel and medical and all kinds of stuff. And separately from the company, but somehow under the same umbrella, he's now going to finance this production and development company that Ben Silverman will be involved with. And the idea is to do again what they did with Reveille. Reveille is a company that not only has been very successful in television in terms of production, but also has made a lot of interesting cross-pollination deals with advertising agencies, in some cases directly with big clients like Procter & Gamble or various auto manufacturers, where they've been able to use the power of television, the power of media and brands to help the advertisers and to boost the revenues of television. And that's really what Ben Silverman is famous for, and I expect we're going to see more of that.
You know, until just this week, I was under the impression that the TV upfronts had stalled, but yet out earlier this week, Fox and the CW claim to be close to completing their upfront selling by the end of this week. First off, for those that may not be familiar, describe what the upfronts are and then give us an update on where the networks are on closing this out. I think we're running a little late in that regard, aren't we?
Absolutely, the latest ever in my lifetime. What we have here is in May, they announce, they being the TV broadcast networks, announce their fall schedule. They then immediately have big parties and dog and pony shows in New York for all the major advertisers. And then they offer up for sale three-quarters of the advertising time for the entire season coming up in advance. And in theory, you're supposed to get a slight discount for buying in advance. But what's happened is every year they've raised the price. So even though there's less people watching, they've managed to push the price up. Except this year, it all kind of hit a wall. And so the advertisers balked at paying more. They balked at buying right now. A lot of the big advertisers have said, in fact, we're not going to buy at all during the upfront. We'll take our chances in the so-called spot market. And that's when you buy the ads later on for whatever price they're going for, depending on how things are going. And so May passed, June passed. And now here we are in July, and they're finally starting to make some deals. CBS has been able to hold the line more than anybody else. NBC and Fox are both said to be making deals. In the case of CBS, the CPM, or cost per thousand viewer, is down around 1% to 3%. In the case of some of the other networks, including NBC, it apparently is down as much as 5 or 10%. In other words, they're paying less money for the viewers than they did a year ago. But everybody says they're close to selling, if not all of it, at least enough to be keep the business going, keep the lights on. But there's, you know, if you really have to ask the question, do we need the upfront? Will there be an upfront in the future? And are people really going to continue spending most of their money on broadcast television? Because what's happened is people used to spend 90 or 100% of their budget on broadcast. The big national brand advertisers today have moved that money to cable and out to the Internet or to various kinds of guerrilla marketing, billboards, or, you know, when you walk down the street and there's some guy on the corner handing out samples with the name of the show on it. That is a form of advertising. Or sometimes they spend money to hire people to go onto the Internet and write nice things about their shows and their products and not say that they're shills, but act like they're common citizens doing it. That's part of the marketing effort, too.
You know, I understand that NBC has been packaging their negotiation for upfronts with their cable networks this year, which has been slowing the process down a bit. Is that something new that they're doing this year?
Well, it's not new, but they're trying to do more of it. And remember, you know, if you have a product that isn't very good, NBC is the fourth place network. There's not a lot of confidence in their fall season. How do you make it look better? You take that and you package it with a bunch of other stuff, the Bravo network and MSNBC and whatever else you can come up with, and then it kind of confuses the buyers and it allows you to make them spend more money, and maybe they even get more value for the money. But clearly what they're getting is kind of a big box of goodies so that no one item seems quite as onerous as it did before. And so, you know, they've done this for special events for years, for instance, for the Olympics last time. And the one before that, they sold packages where you could buy across multiple platforms, as they like to call it. And now they're doing that on an everyday basis. And I think that is the future. And they're not just selling broadcasting cable. They're also selling availabilities on their Internet sites. And they're also, in some cases, where they have billboard interest or radio interest, they're selling across all the platforms. And they'll do their best to confuse the advertisers, to muck everything up, and hope you don't notice the crappy programming they're putting on.
And don't answer yet, because you get an extra ShamWow if you sign up for the program as well. It's a wonderful lifetime supply. On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, a regular contributing contributor to here, the Advertising Show, and a frequent one, too. Alex Menblock, contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter here. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, more coming up here in just a moment. Stay with us.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet.
Alex Menblock is with us, a contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter, amongst a gazillion other things that Alex does in his spare time as well. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Alex, welcome back.
Thank you.
Sumner Redstone's in the news lately. Not big news on Viacom's earnings being reported, but bigger news about the auction of his National Amusement Theater circuit. Bring us up to date here, Alex.
Well, this week, Sumner Redstone got on the phone with analysts from the stock market and talked about Viacom posting lower profits, down about 32% in earnings. But he tempered it by saying that, you know, there is some good news here. Now, of course, Viacom includes Paramount Pictures, MTV, Comedy Central, and something new called Epix, E-P-I-X, which is going to try and compete with Showtime and HBO. But so far they've had a really hard time getting anybody to agree to carry them on cable. They finally have cut a deal, but it's not exactly on cable. It's with the Verizon telephone company's new service called Fios. And so he said that was the good news. Meanwhile, he's got all kinds of problems. Redstone is in the middle of a trial with his nephew, who's suing him. He's fighting with his daughter. He's been fighting with his son. And he's got a big problem. He's got a $500 million debt payment due in October. And if he doesn't pay it, he'll have to sell more of his Viacom and CBS stock, which are the thing that allow him to control those two companies. And he really doesn't want to do that. He's had to do some of it. And so there's been an auction of National Amusements is a very good theater chain, operating both in the United Kingdom and in the United States, based in Boston, but with theaters all over the country. Here in Los Angeles, for instance, they operate something called The Bridge, which is a real state-of-the-art theater. Well, unfortunately, in order to keep CBS and Viacom, he has to sell something, so he decided to sell the theaters. And he's trying to raise that $500 million, and there's about 60 U.S. cinemas he offered for sale, as well as about several dozen more cinemas in the U.K. And today, the second round of bids came in. The first round didn't really look too good. But in the second round, he's now saying that he's got good bids and now may not have to, sell as many theaters. Maybe he'll sell only 40 U.S. theaters instead of 60 because he'll be able to raise enough money. But what's changed here is instead of getting one buyer who will take all of the cinemas off his hands, which is what he wanted, he's going to be forced to sell to a number of different buyers, theater chains who want to do what they call clustering, which is to buy the theaters that are where they already operate so that when they do ads and promotions and for operation purposes, they can actually lower the cost of doing business. And so by doing that, it looks like he's going to get enough money so that he will be able to meet his $500 million payment by October.
Wow.
Well, we will keep everyone posted on that. Emmy nominations are out. HBO once again is on top. Before we talk about that, I wanted to also mention that CBS, which will be airing this year's Emmys, has a few tricks up their sleeve, I guess, huh?
Well, you know, last year's Emmys, let's just say what it was. It was the worst Emmys ever, and it was one of the lowest-rated Emmys ever. It was just pathetic. And CBS knows that, and they're trying to straighten the thing out. They've chosen Neil Patrick Harris, who's a very classy guy. He's on How I Met Your Mother, and he, you know, he's done a lot of other things. I think he was Doogie Howser maybe years ago. You remember that?
Sure. Yep.
But he also hosted the, you know, the Tonys recently and got very good reviews and some other stuff. And so he's going to be the single host. Now, last year they had five reality TV show guys being the host. They forgot to write a script. It was just embarrassing.
Yeah.
I think this year we can expect a much better show, a much classier show. And it's very important to the people who put on the Emmys, the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. They're at the end of an eight-year deal with the four major broadcast networks. And under the contract, the deal has to be renegotiated next summer prior to the eighth show. That means the ratings on this show will be the final one, and they will have a great determining effect on how things go, whether or not the networks even want to bid, how much they're willing to bid. And this is life and death for ATAS, or the TV Academy. All of their good works, all of their programs, their big campus in North Hollywood, everything they do pretty much is paid for by this broadcast. And so everybody's watching to see if this will work. And as you know, it's not just the Emmys, but almost all of the big award shows have seen a decline in audience over the last couple of years. Either people just don't care anymore, or there's too many award shows, or who cares about Hollywood, you know, patting themselves on the back? It gets nauseating to some people after a while. But the hardcore fans are going to be there. If you can deliver a good show, the Oscars turned it around this past March. They had a much better show. The ratings went up. The critics were on their side, finally. And so I think with the Emmys, we're going to see probably a much better show. And hopefully people will tune in.
Our good friend and a contributing editor at The Hollywood Reporter, Alex Van Block, is with us here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Back with more in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age. And also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind, what you're hoping to find.
Always glad to have Alex Benblock as a guest here at The Advertising Show from Hollywood. It's the Hollywood Reporter. He's the contributing editor there. Alex, welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, I would say it's a surprise that HBO is one of the major networks being nominated for Emmys, but it's not that big of a surprise anymore. But what I think was a surprise was the fact that 30 Rock is doing so poorly in the ratings, but yet finally get some credit
accolades
here with
yeah.
Been the winner of the best outstanding comedy series for the last 2 years. They've been a critical darling, even though you're right, the ratings have not really come up. And this was a show that really was hoping that the Emmy wins and the Emmy attention would give them the kind of boost that other shows we've seen over the years. NYPD Blue comes to mind, for instance. Once they started winning Emmys, they started getting an audience. But I happen to love 30 Rock. I think it's a very funny show, but it's sort of a bit of a, you know, special taste. And there were some surprises this year in the 2009 Primetime Emmy Award nominations. Maybe the biggest surprise was a show called Family Guy, an animated show which got a Best Comedy Category nomination. This is the first primetime animated show to get a nomination in that category since The Flintstones in 1961.
Oh, my God.
So, wow. You know, and The Simpsons never got one. The Simpsons has won the, you know, Best Animated Show category many times. You know, that was one of the big surprises. But also, both some of the shows that got snubbed, like The Shield and Friday Night Lights and Southland and True Blood was a surprise. And some of the shows that didn't get snubbed, like Flight of the Conchords and some of the others that were in there. And you know, I think it is an interesting year, and I think it's probably going to be a pretty good show, but it remains a bit unpredictable about what is going to be there. The Best Drama Series nominees this year include Big Love, first-time nominee, Breaking Bad, which is a show nobody ever heard of, Damages, Dexter, about a serial killer, House, about a doctor, and then The Favorite, along with Lost. The Favorite is Mad Men on the AMC channel, which has slightly more circulation than my daughter's record player at home.
Well, and there you go. You get to hear the Emmy nominations without getting up at 4:30 in the morning. You know, we purposely have not mentioned anything about the Michael Jackson matter, and mainly because it's been so hyped and overdone in general media. We did mention...
But it gets more interesting by the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, the only thing we did mention was how Magic Johnson did the product placement plug of the decade, his mention of KFC chicken. But moving on, I know you guys at Hollywood Reporter broke some news that has not been covered. And why don't you touch on that, Alex?
Well, I had an exclusive story on page one of the Hollywood Reporter last week that Michael Jackson was working with a guy named Brian Michael Stoller, and they had had a movie company together, and they had planned, as soon as Jackson finished his London concert series, that they would co-direct a movie based on the book about a man who had been a foster child and had been very badly abused. I believe it's called They Keep Them in Cages at Night. And I don't have it in front of me, but it's like that. And it was a best-selling book, but back in 1985. And Jackson found the book and brought it to Brian Stoller and said, I want to make this into a movie, and I want this to be the first movie I co-direct. and Stoller wrote the script, and they, in 2003, they brought it to Mel Gibson's company, Icon Productions, and made a deal to make the movie together. Unfortunately, a couple of months later, Jackson was charged with child molestation in Santa Barbara, and Mel Gibson and his company put it in turnaround and ran in the other direction and stopped returning their phone calls. But 3 months before his death, Brian Stoller says, Jackson came to him and said, I want to independently finance this for $8 million. I still want to make it. I want to co-direct it. It's the thing I'm going to do next. And during the period they were working on it back with Mel Gibson, the man who wrote the book was 67 years old and quite ill, and they decided to bring him to Neverland, Jackson's home at the time. And Stoller filmed Jackson actually interviewing this man in a very poignant interview. And we put a scene up, a video at HollywoodReporter.com, if anybody wants to see it, in which Michael Jackson asked him, did you ever consider suicide with great emotion? And the guy says, yes, I did. And in the course of the interview, although it's not in the clip, Jackson says he considered suicide as well because he felt that he was like a foster child. He said he lived in hotels and was on the road his whole life, and to him, every hotel was like another foster home, and he would look out the window and see the kids playing on the street, and he couldn't join them, and he felt like he was a foster kid, so he identified with this. So it was quite a poignant story.
And a nice touch
well,
to end on
here. We're
all
going to log on to HollywoodReporter.com and check that out.
Okay, good. Hey, Alex, a great story to end on, and as always, thank you for being a part of the show, and thanks for your time.
Always a pleasure. Keep up the good work.
Likewise. At the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, back in just a minute.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 International Creative Awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way, the Open Ad way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Alex Blum-Block is always a great guest on The Advertising Show. Well, he's not a guest. He's just kind of part of the family, okay?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Kelly Scalota is with us next week. Kelly wrote a book called Marketing to Multi-Minded Women, okay? And it's a very interesting book. It's got a lot of stuff out there that you may not know. And if you are a product or a service provider that markets to women, it'd be a good read for you. So we suggest you pick that up as well. And, of course, join us next week for the Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. This is interesting. This is comes from Media Post News. It says almost two-thirds of mobile content consumers use their handheld devices to act on advertising in other media, like out-of-home ads, digital videos, especially while on the go, according to new research from actually from Starcom USA. That's among the key findings, they say, from the second phase of the agency's ongoing study of mobile consumer behavior and attitudes towards mobile advertising. Starcom released the initial set of research findings back in 2008 based on a survey of both light and heavy users of mobile data in Chicago, Houston, New York, and San Francisco. And a lot has changed since 2008 and 2009. So basically what they're suggesting, what's happening, the mobile device is becoming a gateway to further drive into brands or dive into brands or advertising to get more information about products being promoted, and that's where it's at. So it's something to definitely look into if you're not doing that right now.
You know, Ray, I don't know if you heard about this. I thought it was a smart move. According to the Los Angeles Times, Apple is refusing to let Google distribute its Google Voice app on iTunes, shutting out iPhone users from tapping into the new product that enables cheap international calls and other services. Obviously, Ray, it's Apple's move in an attempt to protect itself, I guess, and to a lesser degree, AT&T from a potential rival. So, mm-hmm. you know, I guess that's Google's right to do whatever they want. And I mean, I should say iTunes' right to block out Google if they so choose.
Two big forces, no doubt about it. It could be interesting to see what kind of a conflict there might be there as well. Gene Bliss is talking about IKEA today. If you don't have an IKEA in your neighborhood, well, you ought to. It's kind of a cool store. You just have to have a screwdriver and the ability to read directions.
Yeah.
That's about it, but it's good stuff. And she talks about that right now on the Advertising Show.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
IKEA is the Popeye of furniture stores. Committed and clear about its purpose, it's proud to say, we are what we are. And that is to create better everyday life for many people. IKEA knows that even people on a limited budget want a beautiful home, a comfortable home, a place that feels like, well, home. By deciding to design the price tag first for its products, IKEA stays on course to what endears them to their customers. IKEA's sensible Scandinavian approach to design and pricing draws its core customers, young, just starting out singles, and families who have much more energy than cash. IKEA enables them to furnish their first homes, and their shoppers show up by the tens of thousands to their store openings. In fiscal 2008, 253 IKEA stores in 24 countries welcomed 565 million visitors. What pushes your yes button? Do you have laser beam clarity like IKEA about what your customers are and what unique value you deliver to them? What do you always consider first in product and service development?
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. And thanks once again to Gene Bliss. We told you earlier that Gene has a new book coming out, and we'll tell you more about that as it comes closer to the time that her book is coming out, because we know at this point as much as you do, which is not a lot. The ad CEOs, this is from the Wall Street Journal earlier this week, and it says, Global Ad Omnicom Group, Inc. and Publicis Group SA report significant declines in revenue and profit, but indicated a bottom may be at hand. In the global advertising downturn, we don't see a recovery, but we feel we've hit the troughs. That's John Wren, who is the chief executive officer at Omnicom. He added that it will take a couple of quarters to cycle through the current downturn and a couple more before growth comes. That's a whole other year then.
Yeah.
Okie dokie then.
You know, an ad guy shouldn't try to be an economist. Just stay an ad guy.
Really? Well, he's playing it safe too, saying it's going to be another year before we come out of this thing. We believe the worst is behind us. All figures should be less in decline in the third quarter. And it continues on. I don't have the rest of the story.
Apparently, global consumers are increasingly optimistic about the economy, but those in North America remain the exception to the rule. There's a story about this from Nielsen Global Consumer Confidence Survey that they did recently, Ray, and apparently, you know, people around the world are more optimistic about the economy than North Americans are. More than three quarters of North American consumers said they have changed their spending and exercise cost-cutting measures, which I really think is the key point to that study. When we recover from this, spending is going to be different than it was during the heyday.
I tend to agree, at least for a while, and then we'll all forget about this, and then we'll go back to doing the stupid stuff again.
What a
great concept. Yeah, exactly. What a shame that would be. Kelly Murray Scalota is our guest next week. Marketing to multi-minding women is actually what it is, and Too Busy to Shop is the name of the book. It's pretty cool. And we think you'll enjoy the interview. We hope you will tell a friend, too, about the Advertising Show, which is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at edage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, hope you enjoyed the show today, and you'll come back next week as well. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.